right into this. So I want to talk about the topic tonight of repentance. And we may get through this tonight. We might get into next week with this. But we're going to talk about repentance. And so we hear repentance a lot. And we talk about, for salvation, you must repent and believe by faith. So what does this word mean? And for some here may be newer in the faith, and they're, what does that mean when we talk about repent? What does it mean to repent? What does it mean, this word repentance, or this idea of repentance? That's what we're going to talk about. Well, the word repent, that's a verb, and it means feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. And that's really what we're talking about. When you repent, you feel this, or you express this sincere. There's a regret. When I'm repentant, I have a regret for something. I have remorse. And what we're talking about specifically when we're talking about repenting, we're talking about this, the remorse or the regret is because of my sin. It's not, it could be, look, it could be a situation with someone which probably, if I've got remorse about that, there's sin involved. But what I'm talking about, when you have sin, in order to, if we're ever going to get right with God, it's got to start with this repentance, a feeling of, I'm repentant. I know this is wrong. I've come to that. And I've heard people act like, well, repentance, there's some out there like, repentance isn't really that important. It's really not talked about in the Bible. I'm like, well, what Bible are you reading? Elijah told people to repent. Isaiah told people to repent. Joel told people to repent. Jonah told the people to repent. Jeremiah, Micah, Amos, Malachi all had a message of repentance. Jesus said to repent. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it's one of the first things that Jesus really speaks of. He says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. It's kind of his first real message here, preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus says it right there. You want to be saved? How are we saved? We're saved through repentance and faith. Exactly what Jesus said. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the disciples said to repent. Today, the message is needed for repentance. And we got people today don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to be confronted with sin. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. You do your own thing. I'm not. It's amazing people who don't want to acknowledge God or even will act like there is no God, and they get offended if you say that they're sinning. If I didn't believe there was a God, I wouldn't care. You would call me a sinner? I don't care. If I'm homosexual and you're telling me that's sin, why would I care? I don't care what you have to say because I don't believe that. Why do they care? Because they know in their hearts it's true. They know in their hearts that God has put it within them. They understand that it is sin. And the problem is, look, we don't like to be called out on our sin, do we? I don't. I don't know. I can't speak for y'all. I say we. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I don't like to be called out for my sin. I don't like to be called out for nothing. I'm just being honest. None of us really do. We don't like to be called out. But if you're a believer, when you get called out, if you have integrity, you go back and you go, I can either get mad about it or I can go back and go, is that true? I need to really evaluate. Is that true? If it's true, then I need to do something about it. One of the greatest things that ever happened for me, and look, I've got so much to learn. I've got so much areas I need to grow in. But I used to have a really, I can have a temper now. But I used to really have a bad temper. I had a really bad temper in my early 20s. Working at UPS, I'm getting 3 hours sleep at night. I'm a little more irritable than anybody else. It was bad. But I had a situation where one of the package cars, we called them, was loaded on the other side, and they brought it over, and we were going to pull some packages off of it. They had too many. We had to pull some packages off of it to put on another. Well, they bring it over. They bring the package car over to our belt. I'm a supervisor on the belt, and the truck, it's a mess. there's stuff everywhere. We're trying to figure out what needs to come off. We can't figure. I'm hot now. I'm hot because it shouldn't be. It's a mess. And so the supervisor from that belt comes over, and I let him have it. And I let him have it in front of everybody. And he's about 6'1", Marine. And I'm probably lighter than I am now. And he said, you know, I'll take care of it. That's all he said. Well, later, I was down on my belt. I was in a car. I was in what they call them package cars on the trucks. I was in there moving some stuff around. And he comes down the belt and comes in the back of the car. Y'all know where this is going, right? I thought I knew where it was going, and I was hoping I knew where I was going, you know. Because he really could have broke me, just snapped me. He was a big dude. And he come in there, and just very calmly, he said, listen, don't talk to me like that again. He said, I didn't load it, I didn't do it, but I'll fix it. He said, but I'd appreciate it if you never talked to me like that again. He said, that wasn't right. And of course, you know, you're confronted, so what do you do? Yeah, whatever, okay, yeah, why, all right. I mean, kind of, yeah. That's what I did. Because anybody relate? Yeah. Anybody relate? That's what I did, that's what I felt. It was like, yeah, whatever, okay, great, you got offended, whatever. I thought about it, and I was so convicted. I'm a believer. I was so convicted. And man, the more I thought about it, I thought, golly, you know, I didn't do him right. And so I went back and I apologized to him. And very, very humbling, but I apologized to him. And it wasn't because I felt like he was threatening me or anything, but he called me out, and he was right. And I'm going to tell you, it impacted me so much because I realized, you know, the way we treat people is important. And I still don't always do right. But I want to do right. I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. That's what I want to do. And, you know, sometimes like Paul, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do, right? But I want to do right. But I've gone back to him twice after that. We were playing golf one day. So we got along. We did go back and play golf and stuff. And I told him that day, I remember the hole we were on. I can't remember anything about a round of golf, but I remember the hole we were on. And I remember telling him, I said, Roscoe, his name was Roscoe. I said, Roscoe, I said, man, you know, that was one of the best lessons I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was very humbling. But I appreciate you, the way you handled it, and I appreciate you calling me on it. And, you know, it's that kind of stuff. When we get called out on something, then we can make a change. Right, so it brought a brokenness to me. It brought a repentance to me in that. So we need to repent, and people need to hear that today. We need to speak truth in love. That's what I loved about Charlie Kirk. It didn't matter what it was; he spoke the truth in love. He didn't cower at those events when the college kids are calling him everything in the book. He didn't even get mad a lot, even though he said that was one of the hardest challenge for him was staying calm, because I can imagine he's probably boiling sometimes, stuff said. But he just handled it, because he really did care about them, and he wanted them to come to faith. You need Jesus. And that's what we've got to be doing. So we want to see this. There's a call for repentance, and that needs to be the message we have today. People need to repent. So biblically, repent means to have a profound and thorough change of, listen, change of heart, mind, and direction, moving away from sin and toward God. I've ever explained it like this. You know, salvation comes, here's what we're doing. We're doing our own thing. I'm either think I can work my way to heaven, I can be good enough to get there, or I don't care about heaven, or whatever it is. But if I keep going this way, it's nothing's changing. I'm going to hell. That's where I'm going. It requires repentance, a change of my mind. You have to come to that understanding. If you don't understand you're a sinner going the wrong way, you can't get saved. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't need to get saved from anything. President Trump, I'm praying for his salvation. Something he said the other day, there's a change in him. Before, he was saying, I don't have anything to repent of. I don't have anything to confess. If I mess up, I just try to do better. I mean, that was something that was said, I don't know if it was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. He said that. Just the other day on the airplane, I don't know if y'all saw this, somebody asked him, Mr. President Trump, you said something about you thought you'd do good enough with these stopping these wars, you might go to heaven. He said, I'm not going to heaven. He said, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't think there's any chance of me going to heaven. That's what he said. Now, that's a long way from over here of I don't have anything to repent. You know what? That sounds to me like you're heading in the right direction. Now, I don't want him to get to a place where he goes, I'm so bad, God couldn't save me, because God can save him if he'll repent and believe. But it requires, this isn't going to do it. I can't save myself. Changing and understanding when I turn, I repentance is that change of mind, and I turn to Jesus. I turn to Jesus by faith. I repent. There's a change. It's that change of mind, change of heart. It's a change of direction, and it's moving away from sin and self and towards God. And this change, rooted in the Greek word metanoia. Thank you. I've struggled with this. And I've studied Greek, believe it or not. Metanoia. So it's a change in one's way of life resulting in penitence or spiritual conversion. So, you know, when you talk about penitence, you're talking about that heartfelt sorrow for sin again. That's what it is. It's a brokenness, right? It's that sorrow. And it's not, we're going to get into that. So repentance involves understanding one's personal guilt before God. You got to understand that. You got to understand your sin, your guilt, sorrow for sin. And if you're not broken about your sin, how can you be saved if there's not an understanding that your sin? And here's the thing. It's a willful decision to turn from wrongdoing and seek God's forgiveness and cleansing through faith in Christ. Our sorrow is, I've sinned against a holy God. And when we understand, when you think about, how many of you have seen Saving Private Ryan? Seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? All right, I love that movie. And I love, I don't really like the way he says this. It almost implies a works kind of thing. But at the end of the movie, you know, he goes back and he finds the captain's grave. And the captain, those that came and got him, and took him out of there, and most of them died, but the captain died. Tom Hanks' character died. And before, as he was dying, he tells him, he says, earn this. And the idea is, look, you getting out of here, I'm dying. I died for you. I gave my life for you. Now you go live your life. And so he's there, he's an old man, and he asks his wife, he says, tell me I'm a good man. Now, this is not, right, understand, he can't go work and earn it. He's not earning it. But they gave their life. He needed to go live a good life. That was his idea. He says, they gave their life for me. Now, I need to make sure I live a good life. I don't go waste my life now. These guys died to save me. When I think about Christ, he went to the cross. Sinless and holy God went to the cross of Calvary for me. For my sin, for that filthy thought that I had, that thing that I did, that attitude, that fussing at that guy in front of all those people and embarrassing him, all of that, all my sin that he bore on the cross for me. He took mine. He did that for me. If that doesn't speak to your heart and break your heart that your sin, that Jesus came and died because of your sin, that he took your place, that's where we have to get to this understanding what he did for us. So it's a spiritual turning, not just a change of behavior, okay? And it results in a redirected life of pursuing God and obeying his commandments. So truly, when... Look, there are folks that have a problem with, there's this idea is that, you know, when I get saved, I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to get saved. It is super simple. Salvation is so simple. It is. If you are, when the Lord, the Spirit of God draws us, and here, I'm just telling you how I believe this all works. The Holy Spirit of God works through the Word of God, and He speaks to our heart. He draws us. Now, we can't be saved. If the Spirit of God's not drawing you, you can't be saved, right? We understand that. Scripture's very clear on that. But I am thoroughly convinced if the Word of God is being preached, I believe with all my heart that God was calling people last night at Horsepower Ranch. Because the Word of God went forth clearly. The Spirit of God is working in that. Now, if people don't respond, that's on them. But if they understand, I'm a sinner. I understand, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. They have to now respond. Jesus has done everything. God has done everything. Everything that needs to be done is done. It's done. Do 1,000 push-ups, do 1,000,000 push-ups, walk 100,000 miles, and you can go to heaven. People will try to do it. But tell them just repent and believe. Oh, no, no, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. It is that simple. You can't just come to God however you want to. No, I'll wait till I'm in the hospital bed. I'm going to live my life and have fun. And when I get in the hospital bed and I'm about to die, then I'll come to Jesus. Good luck with that. I wouldn't rest on that. When God speaks to your heart, you better respond. But when you respond, listen, it's again, He draws your heart. You've heard the gospel. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Jesus, help me. You repent. Change of mind. I'm turning to God. I'm turning to Jesus. I call on the Lord. I put my faith in Him. I'm in a new direction. There's a change, right? There's a change now. There's a change. If there's not a change, then there was no change, right? You're still going the same way. Captain Obvious. But when you change, you're going in a new way. And if you've got the Spirit of God in you, let me tell you what doesn't happen. I'm just going to stand right here. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going anywhere. I ain't growing. I'm right here. I'm good because I'm saved. There's a truth in that. There's nothing more required. There's nothing more required. But I'm going to say this. You're not working to get saved. Because all you do is repent and believe. It's a response. That's salvation. That ain't works. You have to respond to what He has done. He's put it out there. Now are you going to receive it? And when you respond, if the Spirit of God comes in and makes you alive, you are not going to just stay there. And so you're going to grow. You're going to move. You're going to continue toward Him. And you're going to progress in maturity. And you are going to work not to be saved, not to add to your salvation. You won't be more saved if you teach a Sunday school class. But you're not going to be more mature if you sit here and do nothing. It's part of your maturity is in your growth is in responding to what He's done. And we work because I am saved. It's not earn it, like He said in Saving Private Ryan, but it's not works to be saved, but it's works because I am saved. Man, if you're in the foxhole and the guy beside you fell on a grenade, the rest of your life, He gave His life to save your life. The rest of your life, you would be thinking about that. I don't want to waste my life. He died, and I'm alive because He died. I want to make my life matter. How much more so should that be when Christ did that for us? And it wasn't just my life here, but if I've been born again, I'm not going to go to hell. Three-syllable word there, hell. Do you know what I was saying? You've heard it enough now, you know what I was saying. Hail. How should I say it? Hell? Hell. Hell. I can't say that. Hell. Hell. Pot the car in hell. Man, if I've met the living God, if I've really met the living God, how can I not be different? And if you haven't met the living God, there ain't anything better. there ain't anything better. How can we stay the same? How can we not give our all? How can we not just go all in for Him? Marks of biblical repentance. Here's some marks of biblical repentance. Intellectual change. There's an intellectual change, okay? When there's true repentance, there's a change here because there's acknowledging sin as a personal offense against a holy God. See, and so as a believer, here's what happens. It amazes me. I'm amazed at myself when I sin. I'm not amazed that I sin because I've done it my whole life. But I'm amazed that as much as I love God, as I really believe I love God, and yet I'll do this sin. And it's such an offense to God, this infinitely holy God. But it's coming to, it starts there. It's the intellect. I have to understand that. But then there's an emotional change, and that's a genuine sorrow for past sins and a heartfelt desire for forgiveness. So when we understand that Jesus, the one who never sinned, that God came down in flesh on a rescue mission for me. He did that for me. And He's calling me. Man, I understand that with my head. And then there's this emotional change that comes with that because now I'm broken about my sin. I'm such a sinner. You just don't understand all I've done. And I desire forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrows of the world produces death." So it's a difference. There's a difference. This godly sorrow is different from a worldly sorrow. You know, people are a lot of times sorry about it. It's Bill Clinton. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." Bite his lip to try to get a tear to come out as he fakes. It's this false repentance of, here's what it is. "I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I got caught." That's usually what happens to me when the cops pull me over. "I'm sorry I got caught." I knew I was going too fast right there. Godly sorrow produces repentance. It's real that godly sorrow, we understand, I'm a sinner. And I want for forgiveness. And then there's the volitional change. And that's any active decision to turn away from sin and an inward inclination to seek pardon and cleansing. So we get it here. It stirs our emotion, but it moves us. There is an active decision to respond to this and turn away from my sin. This is a part of repentance. I want to turn away from that sin. Look, how can I say I'm truly repentant of something? I'm broken of something. I've got some habit, and I won't give it up. I'll say, "Lord, please forgive me of that," and I go right back to it. You didn't really mean it. When we're really repentant, you know what when we confess to God, you know what that is? I'm agreeing with God. That's true confession is when He says, When I read in the Word and I read this and I go, "Oh, that mouth, that's sin. Man, that attitude, what I said, the way I said, that was sin." Real repentance says, "I'm not going to do that. Lord, if I do it, I'm going to continue to do it. Lord, you got to help me not to do that. I don't want to do that." And I encourage you, don't listen, when you get convicted of something, don't try to do it in your own flesh. I struggled, and I've shared this before. I struggled when I was working UPS. I've been a Christian 6-7 years, working at UPS. I'm 20, 21 years old, and high pressure position, not a lot of sleep, going in early in the mornings, no excuse. But my struggle was, again, with my temper, was with my mouth. And I'd be trying to witness to people on the job. I'd be inviting them to church. Things would be going great, and then something would happen, and I'd snap. And I'm just going to tell you, if you can imagine it, it came out my mouth. It came out my mouth. And then I would feel, I could feel myself just feel that tall. So convicted. Just terrible. And I'd get alone, and I'd talk to God, and I'd pray. And I remember for the longest time, I'd say, "Lord, please forgive me. I'm never going to do that again. You know what I learned? I had already lost. I'd already lost. As soon as I said, I'll never do it again, I'd already lost. Because the fact is, I can't do it. When I got to the place, here's what I went through. I was paralyzed in prayer. I got to a place where it was like the Tom and Jerry cartoons where the little devil jumps on the shoulder and the little angels over here. And I had the devil over here going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to apologize again? You're going to ask for forgiveness again? You know, how many times you think he's going to forgive you? He's not going to forgive you. You can't keep, you know, and it's all this guilt. And you know what I got? I got to where I could not pray. I was paralyzed in prayer. I could not pray. And I was really struggling with this. And my pastor preached one night I think it was a Sunday night, if I remember right. And he was talking about the difference between conviction and condemnation. And he said, conviction will always draw you to God. Condemnation is always pushing you away from God. And what did I have going on? It was condemnation. I had this, whether it was my own self-talk or it was Satan in my ear, but I was like, man, I can't even talk to God because I'm so far away from him now. I can't. He won't even listen. But here's the problem. I was trying to do it in my own flesh, my own power, and I can't do it in my flesh. And when I really said, that's wrong, I agree with you, Lord. I confess to you the sin of my mouth, and I can't fix it. If you don't fix it, it ain't going away. I need you to fix it. And not until that point did I have victory over my mouth. And when I got to that place where I gave it to him, guess what happened? I had victory. He gave me victory because it was him. It wasn't me trying to do it anymore. He gave me victory. And I don't struggle with that. I remember one time we finished up a Thanksgiving meal or something. We were folding up tables after church. And, you know, the legs swing like this, and one of the legs swung and popped my hand really good. I mean good. Oh, glory. And my pastor just stood over there, and he just watched me for a minute. He said, boy, you might be saved. Because I didn't notice. I might have thought it, but I didn't say it. But the Lord really did give me victory in that area, and I praise him for it. There's two other things. Directional change. There's a directional change, a complete about faith, about face, changing one's entire course of life to align with God's will and ways. Look, when we're truly repentant, there's the intellectual change, there's the emotional change, there's a volitional change, and there's a directional change. We move in a different direction. Don't tell me you're saved when you're living like hell still. Don't tell me you're saved when nothing has changed. You said this was my life and I got saved and my life is still this. No. It may not be perfect instant, but if you were heading this way and you get saved, there's a blip. You go look at the stock market. When something happens, you can tell. You see it. It either jumps way up or it'll jump way down. Right, Brent? You know. You can go, oh, right there. Something changed. And the market's going good. If the market's going good, everything's real bad. Boom! Things go, whoop, took a jump. And now it's moving up. And that's what a Christian life ought to be. It ought to look like the stock market. We got ups and downs, right? Every day you got ups and downs. But it's trending up. If you look at the stock market back from to the market crash and the Great Depression, and you just look, this is every day. But in trends over time, it's trending up. That's us. Some days are better than others. Some minutes are better than others. But it's trending up. It's trending up. It's a directional change. Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. Repentance is often linked with faith in Christ and leads to a lifetime of seeking God and obeying His commandments. When there's true repentance and faith, look, if it's real, it's going to lead to obedience. If you truly are born again, you're not going to just keep doing. Because here's the other thing. If you're truly born again, when you sin, the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, son, what are you doing? That's not what I have for you. Turn from that. Come back to me. There's conviction. If you don't have that, you don't have conviction, and if you don't have a desire to be obedient, there's a problem in your faith there. And I would check that out. I would question that. All right. I'm already over a minute. Whew. Wow. God's good, isn't he? Woo. Love you guys. Love you guys. So thankful for you all. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, if there's anyone struggling tonight in their walk, I just pray, Lord, I think every one of us in here, me included right now, Lord, every one of us in here, we could probably be a little closer to you than we are right now. Lord, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts. You'd bring that conviction that's needed. Lord, we'd repent of whatever it might be that's just standing in the way of us being what you'd have us to be. Doing what you'd have us to do. God, being obedient to your word. Anything that's hindering our growth, Lord, bring it to mind. I pray tonight that we'd just seek you out, and Lord, that you'd just convict us and we'd be repentant of anything that's hindering us. So, Lord, just do a great work in our hearts tonight. Bless these folks as they go home tonight. I pray for safety as they leave here, as they travel about this week, the rest of the week. I pray, God, that you'll use us, each one of us, Lord. Give us opportunities to testify of your love for us, your goodness, and what you've done, to share the gospel, the good news of your death and burial and resurrection, all to save souls. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.